of the Spirit. And so he's trying to impart that to this generation. So God didn't have him to establish this school so we could come here to see how smart we are in book knowledge. I'm talking about Bible book knowledge. You listening? He came to impart unto us so that our lives could be different. And so this is for you, whether you're called to the fivefold ministry or even if you are here to assist your man and woman of God in their God-given assignments. We need more people training in the school of ministry to assist the man and woman of God in their God-given assignment, because we have too many have their eyes on the fivefold. But we have to have laborers to work what God has brought in. Amen? Well, we're in chapter number 5, distinguishing, discerning, and judging in the realm of prophecy. We'll begin where we left off with the 3 major sources of prophecy. Let us begin. Number 1, through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the only source of a true prophetic word. Number 2, prophecy can come through the human spirit. These are the ones who are speaking out of their own heart, out of their own soul, out of their own mind, out of their own intellect. You know, you can like somebody and just prophesy to them because you like them. But once again, I didn't say that to be funny, class. I said that to say this to you. We have to remember, when we start talking about prophesying, we're literally saying I'm speaking on God's behalf, even though I'm speaking in part. But let's make sure the part that I'm speaking, he told me to speak. Oh, thank you for your enthusiasm. Go ahead. Number 3. You can also be influenced to prophesy through evil spirits. The source in this instance is a demonic spirit. As long as the human spirit in the believer is in a flowing relationship with the Holy Spirit and his mind is continuously set upon the ways and the workings of the Holy Spirit, then there is adequate safety and protection for the believer. A passive mind is Satan's door of entrance to influencing the believer to say and to do the desires of the evil one. So we must be active. You know, during our conference, Apostle talked about active faith versus passive faith. Well, faith is designed to develop and strengthen, watch this, the soul. Faith is not for your spirit. Your spirit is perfect. Your spirit has the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of you. Are you listening? The scriptures is here to teach us. The word of God is here to teach us how to renew our minds. You listening? Faith is full of instruction. Never forget it. Faith is full of what? Instruction. Instruction in what? Righteousness. Go ahead.
Seven ways
to judge and to discern prophetic revelation.
Last week,
we went over judging the source of prophecy. Where is it coming from?
Number two
is judging the content of prophecy.
What is it saying or implying?
What is the prophecy saying to us? And what is the prophecy implying?
We must learn to judge
the actual content of the message, watch this, in context of the canon of scripture. Go ahead.
Is it in line with scripture?
Is it in line? That's the first safeguard right there. Is it in line with scripture.
The prophetic word
must be examined carefully
in the light of
the canon of scripture.
And the prophetic word
must always be tested or proven
on the basis
of whether it conforms in its content
with the principles
and the precepts
of God's written word.
Does the prophecy line up with or is in alignment with the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ?
All that Jesus himself
testifies
and is presently testifying
through the Holy Spirit
and through his messengers
forms important criteria
for us to judge
the sources of prophecy.
A right word
at the right time
brings the grace of God
on the scene.
Prophecy should help confirm
and to establish
what Jesus,
who is the head of the church,
what he is saying
to his church,
which is his what?
Body.
Does
that prophetic word
uphold
other scriptures?
Now hold it for a second.
Because what we must understand,
you must go to
St. John chapter 5
to understand
that in St.
John 5:39,
Jesus told them,
search the scripture.
For in them
you think
you have
eternal life.
He says, search
the scripture.
For in
the scripture
you think
you have
eternal life.
You think you got
what it takes
because you can quote.
But Jesus said,
they are
they
which
testify
of me.
And you won't
come to me
that you might have
life.
Did you understand that?
All scripture,
which is given
by the inspiration of
God,
is the testimony
of the Lord
Jesus Christ.
From Genesis
to the
book of the Revelation.
You listening?
It's all about
him.
The scripture means
that which is written,
and also
that which
cannot be
broken,
and the
scripture is
infallible,
incapable
of error.
So you
must rightly
divide
the word
of truth,
because
Jesus is the
way
and the truth
and the life,
and no man
comes to the Father
except
by him.
Go ahead.
Does the prophetic word
uphold
other scriptures,
and is
it in balance
with
the whole counsel
of God?
Genesis
to Revelation.
Every prophetic word
must be
measured
with the whole counsel
of God,
so that
it can be wisely
communicated.
All
that the Holy Spirit
is saying
is
established
in the Word.
And
all the Word
is
revealing
what
is confirmed
by the Spirit.
The
Spirit
and the Word,
the Holy Spirit
and the Word,
watch this,
always agree.
Not just
agree,
always
in
perfect alignment.
Always
in harmony.
That's why I
don't spend time
entertaining
anyone who is
trying to convince me
something is
wrong with the Bible.
No
white man wrote it.
No black
man wrote it.
No yellow man
wrote it. No
red man wrote it.
No beige
man, whatever color
you want to come up with.
This book
is
God breathed upon.
Are you listening?
And God,
who manufactured,
who is the
creator and the
maker of man,
set
this forth in the
earth realm
so we'll have
a way
not only to
get back to him,
but to
know what he
said.
You listening?
He not
only spoke it,
he had it
recorded
so we can
remind him
of what he said.
Because
God is not a man that he should,
lie. Numbers 23 and 19. Neither the Son of Man that he should what? Repent. Had God spoken it? Had God said it? And shall God not make what he said good? Because if God don't make what he say good, he would be a liar. Y'all ready for this? But it was good when he spoke it. Did you hear that? I don't care if it's judgment. All God's judgments are pure and holy and good. Don't get it twisted. Go ahead.
The Spirit confirms the word.
The Spirit confirms the word.
While the word upholds.
While the word upholds the Spirit actions. Now, y'all know that's Hebrews 11, 1, 2, 1, 2, and 3. We're not going there. Read it for your own spiritual enrichment and edification. But the scriptures teach us, and actually that's Hebrews 11, 1 through 3, and also Hebrews chapter 1, where it says that God uphold all things by the word of his power. Didn't say the power of his word. Study it out. Go ahead.
Number three.
Judging by the character of the prophecy.
Whom does the message reveal?
In the New Testament operation
of the prophetic revelation,
the recipient must learn
to intelligently carry the message
upon his heart.
He has to learn to respond well
to the nature of the message.
The purpose of the prophetic word
is restoration
and the lifting up
of the soul,
but not to condemn it.
Did you get that? Did you get it?
It's for the lifting up.
See, God is not in the condemnation business.
That's why the scriptures say there's therefore now, Romans 8, 1, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are what? In Christ Jesus.
But here comes the qualifier of that text. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
So what does that tell me? Condemnation doesn't come from God.
It comes from me wanting to walk in the realm that God said I should stay out of, which is the realm of the flesh.
You listening? You listening?
See, for the law of the Spirit of life, which is in what? Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that the law was weak through the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled, here it goes, in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Are you listening? It's important to understand that condemnation doesn't come from God. Conviction comes from God. You listening? God wants us to be convicted both ways. You listening? We should not only be convicted of sin, but be convicted of righteousness. You ain't never heard that term before. Go ahead.
When we overreact to God's message
and have a negative response,
our emotions and our frustrations,
they get entangled
with the precious work of the Holy Spirit
and contaminates the character
of the prophetic word.
The immaturity
of our character
and our negative response
can corrupt the nature
of the prophetic word.
In communicating God's word,
we are to portray
and reveal the character of God
and God's desires for his people.
The contents of the prophecy
could be right,
but the nature and character
of the prophecy
could be priceless,
thus
thus misrepresenting the master. We must go into maturity and not act or react negatively to some word that is given. You listening? Thank you for your enthusiasm. Because when you react negatively, you're messing with the prophecy. Thank you. Go ahead.
God's word. Reveals his character.
God's word always reveals his character. Why I say that? Because God said, I've exalted my name and my word. But I've exalted my word above my own name. Our word got to mean something. The scriptures teach us, let your yea be yea, let your nay be nay. Now watch this. Any more than that is evil. Oh, Lord, somebody say, shut my mouth. Go ahead.
God sends forth his word
into our hearts
as seed
to plant his character
and his nature in us.
Did you hear that? God sends forth his word to plant both his character and his nature within us, and he does it through the form of a seed, the seed of his word being planted in our hearts, minds, souls. Go ahead.
A good prophecy
has the ability
to reveal Christ.
Let us not alter
the nature
and the character
of his message.
Because of our overreaction
and immaturity.
That's why some people say, ooh, he tore off. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Go ahead.
Number four.
Judging by the test of fulfillment. Judging prophecy. I love it. Judging, here it comes. This is what these false prophets don't want to hear. Judging by the test of fulfillment. Now, why did I say false prophets? Because we learned that all that prophesy are not what? Prophets. But those who are prophets prophesy what? Regularly. Is that right? So if you're going to prophesy regularly, are you listening? Then if you're going to prophesy regularly, then we need to see some what? Manifestation, some results. Thank you. Thank you. They don't want to say it. No, they just want a bunch of words. I want you to know many times when people are prophesied to, amen, and it doesn't come to pass, it don't take God 40 years to fulfill what he said. So individuals end up, instead of being edified, comforted, and exhorted, right? They get depressed. They go into despair. Why? Because they needed that word. Right? Right? Y'all kind of quiet. Maybe you ain't been in a place where somebody told you something that was watered. I'll never forget this. A young man. I'm just trying to show you how it worked. These examples come. We're in the school of ministry. I was at a salon getting a manicure and a pedicure, and a man of God walked through the door. And when he walked through the door, I did not know he was having a particular health challenge. And I greeted him at the door and began to unlock all of the lies that the enemy was telling him, because he was preparing to die. Good God Almighty. Doctors trying to tell him he contracted some illness that's rare and they can't treat it. You listening? And they ready to put him in the grave. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. What I said? See, these things are not to lift up the one who does it, is to bring glory to God. Only God knows what's in the heart of a man or the woman of a man. Only God have the key to unlock the mysteries that have people locked up and blocked up. You listening? And that young man who's a pastor calls me to this day and say, every time I speak with you, I'm lifted up. I'm encouraged. I want to go further. Go ahead. When judging by the test of fulfillment,
we need to understand
the creative power of prophecy,
the imparting power of prophecy,
the conditional aspects of prophecy,
and the process of prophetic fulfillment.
And the process of what? Prophetic fulfillment. Now remember, we say that prophecy, right, is the gateway to all the other gifts, right? Right? The speaking gifts, prophecy. Remember, diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues, right? Two of the nine manifestations of the Spirit. You listening? Together, they are equivalent to what? Prophecy. You listening? But the other gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, special faith, the gifts of healing, the working of miracles. You listening? Those things are a product, or they ride piggyback, let's say, on the speak or the mouth gifts. You listening? Okay, go ahead. The creative power, I love it. Y'all heard what I just said? I love it. The creative power of prophecy.
Prophecy is more than just words.
Prophecy is more than just words. That are spoken to you in due season.
God's word.
God's word is a living, moving entity. Containing within itself
the
divine power
to accomplish itself,
or the divine power of fulfillment. You listening? When God speaks, he's not telling you what he's gonna do. God is telling you what he's already done. You listening? That's why a real word spoken from God carries within itself the creative power to fulfill itself. God don't need no help. Did you catch that? We trying to work a mojo. No, just pay attention to what I've seen apostles do this in meetings. Call men and women of God out and say, thus said the Lord. Not long after, boom, there it is. You listening? Then some get it and receive great benefits from it, but become offended in him and walk away. Kind of messes that. I've seen your life take off to another dimension, but you get offended with the prophet, the apostle. Go ahead.
The spoken prophetic word
releases that power to perform what is spoken
and bring about the fulfillment
of his content. Now, y'all know that's all through the scripture. God say in Isaiah 55:11, right? So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Here it comes. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall what? Accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. So God needs vessels that he could function through so he can be a great sender. And that's God, I put it another way. Didn't Moses say, I would that all of God's, don't be jealous for me. I would that all of God's people were prophets. Y'all didn't catch it. He said he would that. He didn't say they would be. You listening? Oh, y'all catch it. Go ahead.
The Hebrew word debar
means to drive forward
that which is behind.
Thus the word debar is not only something that is spoken,
but it drives forward.
To accomplish its message. It's like the wind behind a sail. Y'all got it? Go ahead.
The spoken word
and its accomplished actions,
they're not two different functions,
but they are one basic concept.
A false prophet
who is one whose words
are counterfeit.
and empty. In other words, they can't even produce. You listening? Impotent. Have no power. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Some people just want to say stuff. You can tell when they're talking. They talking. That's okay. Go ahead.
They lack the inner power.
They lack. I said that because prophecy have ointment on it. You listening? Prophecy is not regular words. When you're speaking on the behalf of God, there's some ointment come with that. Those words, watch this, are penetrating. Full of God's anointing, full of God's power, creative power and ability. Go ahead.
They lack the inner power.
They lack the inner power
for accomplishing the content
of the word.
The prophetic utterance
given through proven prophets
initiates
a divine process. Initiates. I love it. I love it. It initiates a divine process
that brings the prophetic message
into effect
in the lives
that of those who are ministered to. That's why prophets, see, these New Testament, read the Bible. What I said? You ever read how Elisha in Elijah function? Huh? Elisha told that woman straight up, the cruse of oil shall not fail. Neither shall the barrel of meal, you listening, fail until the time that this famine is over, according to the word of God that he gave me to speak to you. Are you listening? Are you listening? See, the prophet, who? The prophet is so intertwined with God and what God has to say to his people that God's word and the prophet's word become one. He's so assured of, he ain't even thinking of. A prophet, a real prophet, don't even entertain in his mind that what he's saying won't happen. Smoke that. Go ahead.
The imparting power
that's in prophecy. 1 Timothy 4:14. And 2 Timothy 1:6. 1 Timothy 4:14 says, Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by what? Prophecy. It was given to, don't neglect the gift that was imparted or given to you by prophecy. And with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. I've been around some not so potent presbyteries. I don't get upset. I'm not. You see, if you want to act spiritual, they're going to have. God is not playing. You cannot set somebody in a office because you like them. They have to have the proof. And the proof of the pudding is in the eating. Don't tell me how mama did it and you got her recipe. Show me what you're working with.
My God.
2 Timothy 1:6 declares,
Wherefore I put thee
in remembrance
that thou
stir up the gift of God,
which is in thee
by the putting on of my hands. The prophetic utterances
carries with it
the creative power
that gave
or channeled the gift from God
to Timothy.
Read Romans 1:11. Paul said, for I long to see you. To the end I may what? Impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you might be what? Established. Don't tell me about the word of God that's put in God's mouth for his people. Money cometh is a pure apostolic and prophetic revelation of what God said he would do. Anybody who don't believe it and don't want to follow it, it's too late to talk about it. It's gone. What do you mean? It's fulfilling what God said it would fulfill, and it's here till Jesus come. Now you believe what you want. Go ahead. Timothy was not just informed about the gifting, but he received an impartation of it. Now, there's a conditional aspect of prophecy, but I want to say this also. When God gives you a prophetic word, the enemy will come to take it. Make no mistake about it. He gonna come up with all kind of stuff. You listening? So you need to understand that. So you rehearse what God had said. And the Bible says by rehearsing what God had said, you will be able to wage a good warfare. Yes, sir. Now, I wish I had that exact reference. Find it, somebody. Go ahead. I want them to have that in this school because they need to see it. Prophecy is just not showing off. God can speak to you, and when the enemy show up, you can take what God said to you and remind that enemy. Go ahead. Just look up the word warfare and you'll find it. Hold on. It's in the book of Timothy, okay? Okay. Go ahead. The life that's in a seed does not become a tree unless it is planted, watered, and nurtured to grow. God does not overstep human responsibility. So that means even in prophecy, there is a Godward side and a manward side. Are you listening? Don't come talking about the prophecy didn't come to pass because you were a false prophet. Maybe there were some instructions along the way. Because remember, you get prophesied to in what? Part, right? So if you're going to keep moving forward, then God, if you're a seeker of him, you listening, will begin to unfold more to you. Because it's always, if you got a part, that means there's some more parts coming. Oh, Jesus. Y'all found the scripture yet? What is it? 1 Timothy 1:18 says, "This charge I commit unto thee, my son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." How about that? War a good warfare with these words of prophecy that was given to you. I don't think you can make it no plainer. Go ahead. The prophetic word carries with it the power to accomplish if unhindered. Yet its fulfillment may be hindered by the recipient's what? Life, or let's say lifestyle, life choices. The quality or the measure of fulfillment will depend upon the recipient who receives the prophetic word. We can always receive more than our prophecy. That's why the scriptures, I think we went through this, it talks about in 1 Thessalonians 5, despise not prophesying. You listening? See, if you take for granted what God has said and don't pay no attention, you listening, become passive versus active. What do you mean passive versus active? I'm going to pursue what God told me, what he promised me. Are you listening? You listening? But I'm not pursuing its fulfillment. I'm pursuing his leading and his guiding me till the next time he says something. So which means if God says something to you, right, you don't have to go do nothing to make him say nothing else. And because you're not responsible for bringing a prophecy to pass. So many people get messed up trying to do that. Go ahead. We are not limited by our prophecy, but it is a stepping stone for higher things in God. A prophetic word a prophetic word
may sometimes be hindered
in its fulfillment
when the life of the recipient
because of
certain conditions not being fulfilled,
certain instructions that are not being followed,
and certain commands have not been obeyed.
How do we bring prophecy to fulfillment?
Do not limit yourself in your mind.
Do not limit yourselves in your mind.
Just to the prophecy,
the words that were given to you.
Always believe God for more than the prophecy.
And see beyond the horizon
of the prophetic word.
Know that God is able to do
what he said.
Let faith be active
and aggressive.
Keep praying along the lines of the prophecy.
Saturate prophecy
in prayer
and
with intercession.
Keep enlarging your thought pattern
along the content of the prophecy.
And ask the Holy Spirit
to work and to establish
the prophecy
that is revealed into your spirit.
Develop the spirit of humility.
Do not think more highly of yourself than what you ought to think.
And develop within yourself a prophetic consciousness
of God's destiny
over your life.
My prophetic counsel.
There is a need for prophets
to be accountable for their prophecy.
Say that again, Dr. Walker.
There is a need for prophets
to be accountable to themselves
and to be held accountable
for their prophecies.
See, that's why you don't have to prophesy over the phone and in a parking lot.
Yes, you listening?
Yes, go ahead.
Old Testament prophets.
They moved in circuits.
They went back continuously
to the people that they ministered to
before.
This either increased their credibility
or decreased their lifespan.
There is a need to give prophecies
that can be fulfilled over a short period of time.
This increases the recipient's faith
towards prophetic utterances.
And when a prophecy is given,
and it reveals accurately
what God has been doing
and is doing
in the life of the recipient.
It directs them to work in accordance
to what God is working in them.
Number five.
Judging by the confirmation of the Spirit.
And number six.
Judging by the conduct of the prophet.
And number seven.
Judging through other witnesses.
So enjoy your evening. We'll examine the next week and we'll send out the notes so you can have that for your spiritual enrichment and edification. Enjoy your evening.